no disrespect to anybody, but it's nothing special about being a pro. So I can do that tomorrow. You can't just go to the Olympics tomorrow. Every time you hit somebody and they cheer, you just want to keep hitting them. Do you know what I mean? And you just want to keep getting that point, dabbing away at them. If you can hit somebody and they can't hit you, that is the most joyous thing in the ring.
What a performance! I said anything could happen.
Kent's Sporting Dreams.
I'm Matthew Panting, and in this episode of Kent's Sporting Dreams, I catch up with Grazing boxer Chevan Clark. With Tokyo 2020 on the horizon, we'll be talking all things Olympics with our guests in the coming months. The 29-year-old is ranked number one in Great Britain, and you'll hear Chevan talk about what drives him on in the ring and how he got hooked by the sport. He's got two shots at qualifying for Tokyo. The first is in London in a couple of weeks' time. So I started by asking if fighting in front of his own crowd comes with an added expectation.
To be honest, I don't feel no pressure in that sense, because it's just another competition to me. Like, there's all the glitz and glamour around it. That's for other people. For me, I've been working at this for so long. It's just another competition. It's no different to my first competition where I boxed in Gravesend, in a little hall where there was like probably 80 people. Do you know what I mean? I just bring it back to that at every stage. So for everybody else, it'll be a big thing, but for me, it's just another day in the office.
Where does that mentality come from? Is that something that you've had to work on, or is that just the way you've always approached things?
That's just partly how I've been brought up. We don't really get, like, for instance, I wouldn't get starstruck. It don't matter who's in front of me. It's just a normal person, do you know what I mean? So this is just another part of my journey, another part of the situation. So just go out and handle it and on to the next one.
And how will the qualifying work in London then? You'll have a series of fights, is it over a number of days, and then you have to get to the final, the semi-final to qualify, is it?
So the qualifiers are from March 14th to March 24th. Each weight class have a different amount of fighters that can qualify. So for instance, lighter weights, for example, the 52 kilos, from that weight class, 8 of them qualify. I think from the 75 to 81, only 6 qualify, I think. But my weight class, only the top 4 will qualify. So I have to get to the semi-final, then I'll qualify. And then win the semi-final and win the final to get a better seeding when I get to the games. Getting a better seeding means you get a better draw. When the draw is done, you won't possibly fight one of the top contenders right as your first fight.
So it puts a bit of pressure on you in that sense, and I guess to go as far as you can in the qualifying to make things a little bit easier for you once you get to Tokyo.
As I said, there ain't no pressure. I really, really don't see it as that. I enjoy what I do, and it'll just be another fun day in the office. But yeah, it'll be great to win the whole thing, because when you get to Tokyo, then it might be a little bit easier. Do you know what I mean? At this level, there are no easy fights as such, because everybody is class. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it would be great to win it at home in London.
I guess as well, presumably it's easy is probably the wrong word, but it's easier almost to qualify first time rather than have to go to the world qualifier and get through the, you know, you get a second bite of it if it goes wrong in London.
For the people that do not manage to qualify in London, the problem is you've got another 2 or 3 boxers at GB that will be in the mix again to go to the world qualifier. So the number ones that have been selected to go qualify in London, it makes sense for them to qualify, because it's 50-50 again. You don't know if you'll get the opportunity to qualify, and there's only one more qualifier. So, you know, take your chance and run with it, really.
I guess it's a dangerous thing publicly to talk about Tokyo and to almost as though you're already there when you have to go through the qualifying process. But do you afford yourself that dream? Do you look ahead and think what could be one day?
I'm really the type of person that deals with coulda, woulda, shoulda. I just take it one step at a time, handle what's in front of you, and then it opens up more options, more opportunities. So just handle London, man, and put on a show in London, qualify, and that's the main aim right now.
Mm. How would you describe yourself as a boxer? You're a bit of a showman in that sense, you know, you put on a show.
I like to entertain myself in the ring. Like, I always come out and think, oh, that was a poor fight. Like, I never come out and feel happy. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're happy with the win, but the performance, you always think, oh, I could have done this better. I like to be entertaining. Nobody likes to see a boring fight. But at the same time, I have to be tactically aware and make sure I do the right things to win. So if that means be a boring fighter to win, I'll have to adjust to do that. But so far, I haven't had to do that.
Do you enjoy it when you're in there? Do you actually, can you take it in what's happening around you? Or, you know, how does it work mentally for you?
Oh yeah, I love being in there. It's just so much, man. Like, the little things that you can do, the little skills that you can perform, and people that know boxing, they appreciate it. And every time you hit somebody and they cheer, you just want to keep hitting them. Do you know what I mean? And you just want to keep getting that point, dabbing away at them. If you can hit somebody and they can't hit you, that is the most joyous thing in the ring. Yeah, it lights you up. And if you can get a stoppage, well, there you go. A classy stoppage. You can't get better than that.
What's the buzz once that happens? Is that what it does it for you?
Yeah, that's my I'd prefer a stoppage, to be honest. I don't know. I like outclassing somebody. You can stop somebody, but to go the full fight and outclass somebody, to just make them feel like they were in way above their head, like at sea, deep at sea. There's nothing better than that. Just, yeah, that shows how good you are.
You've obviously had experience of big events before, Commonwealths, mm-hmm. European Championships, World Championships as well. Does that put you in good stead for what's ahead?
Oh, 100%. I was fortunate enough to get on a little bit after the last cycle started, and I've had loads of great experiences since then. I think people sometimes forget that my international experience is very, very small compared to most of the guys that I've fought. I mean, the first year, 2017, when I came in, I fought my first tournament I went to, I fought the Olympic champion in the final. And my second tournament, I fought him again. So my international boxing experience is probably like 25 fights. It's not a lot. These guys, some of these guys are you're talking like 100 fights, 150 fights. So in terms of international boxing, I'm really a baby. But that don't matter. It's what happens when you get in there that matters.
What's the Commonwealth like? Because you've been a couple of times, haven't you? So once with Jamaica, once with Great Britain.
Yeah.
Totally contrasting experiences, were they?
Yeah, one was in Glasgow, one was in Australia.
That's the biggest difference.
Australia was great. Australia was probably the best tournament that we've been on since I've been on Team GB. Fantastic. The weather was great. And, you know, tournament performed class out there, and I brought back a medal, which is all that matters. In this game, it's all about performance and medaling, and I did that out there. But Glasgow was a great experience because it showed me what I need, the standard that I needed to be at, and I'm sure it taught me other little things, like how to handle the big crowd, etc., etc., etc. So, yeah, both of them came in handy to help me to be where I am today.
And how do you handle that big crowd? You seem to be someone who probably thrives in it rather than is concerned by it.
I think people think, I like putting on a show. I like putting on a show. Like, that's why I train in the gym. That's why I make my sacrifices. Like, I don't do what the normal. Well, I keep thinking I'm young, but I'm not young. I don't do what like my friends do. All I do is train. I train 3 times a day. I go home, I sleep, I train. That's all I do. Like, there's very, very, very rare instances where you catch me out in a party or something like that. Those are the sacrifices I have to make to be who I am and do what I do. So when I get the chance to perform, that's my party. That's all the parties that I've missed. That's everything in one. That's like me going out and getting drunk. Like, that's all of it mixed into one in that performance.
So you started young, or rather, you're relatively young, but you started quite old into boxing, didn't you? It, does that mean you've had all that experience? You had the break as well. So was you partying then? Was that your time to get away from it all? And that's why you can now dedicate everything to this?
No, I've always dedicated pretty much everything to it, man. I mean, when I was younger and I went on the GB team, sometimes I'd go out and, like, let's say on a Friday, right? I'd go out and then I'd be partying until, like, again at like 5 a.m. And then my coach thought he was smart. He'd call me at like 7. He'd be like, get to the gym now. And I'd get up and I'd go to the gym on no sleep. Like, but it made me who I am. So those little experiences, the lack of rest and all of that, I think contributed to make me the better athlete that I am now. And not only that, I don't just want to be another boxer. Like, I don't want to be a local celebrity. Like, that's the worst thing I could ever be, is a local celebrity or like a local. Do you know what I mean? I will be world class athlete. That's what I am. That's why I put this work in.
So tell us about the work then that you're doing, because you're up in Sheffield with the GB squad. You must have great facilities up there, but you must be pushed quite hard as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think we have the best facilities in the world, probably the best staff in the world. It just all comes together so well. And every year, every cycle gets better. Do you know what I mean? It comes down to funding. So, you know, a big thank you has to go out to the people that buy the lottery. And the lottery funding, you know, the folks at Camelot that are behind the scenes that don't get spoken of a lot. But nah, yeah, we do get pushed very hard. We have something called the altitude tent that we do once a week after. So you do a hard session. So you'd probably spar like three to five rounds, and then you have to go and do three-minute rounds with 1 minute break in the altitude tent, which replicates being high altitude, 2,300 meters in the sky, lack of oxygen and heat. So that's just an example, but for the runs, all of it is just hard, but wouldn't change it. Like, I'm very fit, and if anybody that's watching the fight, there ain't nobody fitter than me when it comes to it. When it comes down to it, there ain't nobody fitter than me. You might be able to run faster than me. You might be able to do more push-ups and stuff. But when it comes to fighting, ain't nobody outlasting me.
When you're in the tent, then what goes first? Is it your legs, your arms? Where do you feel it first?
I think it's your legs, really. Because sometimes your brain is saying, yeah, I'm good to go. And your legs saying, no, not me, man. Like, so I think it's your legs. Your legs. The arms don't really feel it as much. It's just like sometimes I get dizzy in there. Do you know what I mean? But it just depends what exercises we're doing in the tent. Do you know what I mean? What type of cardio we're doing in the tent.
You went up to join that squad. Would you say you're now a much better fighter than before you went up to Sheffield?
I think results speak for themselves. To be fair, I never had the opportunities before. But some people don't know, but I was on trials for GB before, and I got down to the last three, and the last two got selected. But everything happens for a reason, and I watch my fights every day, and I'd say I'm a much more complete fighter than I was when I first got there. My defense is definitely improved anyway, I know that for a fact. So yeah, I'd say so.
Well, do you remember the first time you got hit then, in that sense? Do you think, have you ever been hit like that and thought, whoa?
not so much the first time I got hit, but I used to leak a lot of silly shots that used to give the opponents that win, that little, do you know what I mean? And now that's all tightened up, so it's great. I can't wait. The results have been coming in, so I can't wait to see 6 months on from the Worlds what happens in London. It's going to be great.
Is that what drives you as well? What happened at the Worlds and not getting medalled there?
I don't know if that drives me, because I drive myself, right? What happens, what somebody else does or what somebody else don't do, it doesn't bother me in the long run. What happens around happens to all of us. Like, do you know what I mean? My other friend, teammate, he had a situation similar. He's got broadcast more, but what other people do And the things that happen, it happens to all of us, man. It's like it rains. It rains on all of us, right? It don't make me special. I just know that I'm going to be great and I work hard at it every day. And that's all I care about, really.
Talk about analysing your performance then as well. Is that something that's probably only happened once you've been in Sheffield? Is that something that's changed in recent years?
Yeah, that's something I've added to my skill set. It's very pronoun, is that the word I'm looking for? Pronoun up there, that you analyse yourself. We have all the video footage of not just ourselves, but all the boxers that we go to competition and see. Not just the ones that we box, but if there's a fight at the thing, we have footage of all of them. So, but me, I don't watch nobody else, I just watch me. I can only handle me, I can only make myself better. So I don't watch nobody else, I don't need to. So yeah, I like watching the videos of the sparring, the fights, and it just shows you, like, when you watch one fight from 2 years ago and a fight from, let's say, 6 months ago, you can see the difference in the same things that you was doing, and it's just great. It, like, gives me a buzz to want to achieve more.
Lots been said about your experiences in life even before you got into the boxing ring, twice near death experiences as well. How do you look back on what you've gone through in life so far?
I don't. There's a reason why the rear view mirror is very small in your car. And the windscreen is very big. So I don't really look at things like that. I don't really even like to talk about it, to be honest. Just somebody caught onto it one day and blew it out of proportion, really. But it happened, and it just is what it is, man. Life is what you make it. And that was just a part of my success story, I suppose.
For the latest sports news from around the county, see our website, kentonline.co.uk.
So where did the boxing journey start for you?
To be fair, it started in 2009-ish. I was going out with a girl, and her dad, a guy's name is Steve Obie, actually, from Gravesend. And he used to do a little bit of boxing in the garden and stuff, and he taught me a couple of little bits. My appendix went blah blah blah, that situation happened, and I came back, and then I was doing some training, and he was like, oh my days, he goes, you just had an operation, mate, he goes, and you're doing all of this stuff. So anyway, he took me to the boxing club, Gravesend Amateur Boxing Club at Cygnets, and I went in there, and it just kind of ran from there, and it's just been up and up ever since.
So did you feel natural when you first went in?
I don't know. How do you feel natural? I don't know about that. I think one of the reasons why is because there was a kid in there called Jordan Kramer, who was really good. And at the time, I didn't get along with Jordan. And I got into the gym, and because he was so good, he kind of got all the attention. And I was in there, I was trying to learn, and nobody wouldn't pay me any attention. So I was just like, you know what? Give me a little time, and I'll be better than all of you lot in here. And that's just what drove me. And then I got better and better, and the coaches started showing me more attention. I had my first fight, I won. And then they started traveling around the world, around England, and then seeing new places. And I just got hooked to it. You know what I mean? Every weekend I was traveling to Southampton, Portsmouth, Great Yarmouth, wherever, to go and fight. And I just, I've never seen the country like that before, do you know what I mean? And it was just great. And now I'm actually, Jordan's actually one of my good friends. He flies out to support me wherever, Helsinki, wherever we're at, they'll be there. So yeah, that's what drove the whole Chev bus.
When did you know you were good? Was it once you'd won your first fight? Once you'd actually had a certain level of competition, when did you think, actually, I'll be all right, this boxing stuff?
Really and truly, last year, when I got selected for Team GB, my standards are high. I don't have the same standards as other people. Anybody can, I say anybody, but they can't. But most people win a national title, doesn't mean you're good. In my opinion, that's just my opinion, no offense to anybody. How many people has won a world title? But last year when I got selected for Team GB, for the European Games, that's a different level, because almost anybody can represent England GB boxing, but only the elite represent Team GB, and Team GB only go to the major games, which is the European Games, and the Olympic Games. So as you're saying, I'm wearing a kit. There's a lot of people on GB Boxing. There's a lot of people on England Boxing. Not a lot of them can say that they've represented the nation. Do you know what I mean? So that's when I first like thought, oh my days. And we're in this the NEC in Birmingham, and like there's a whole Audi store built for the Team GB guys, and there's a whole Adidas outfit there. I got a personal shopper to go around shopping, pick up all the stuff I wanted, and I was like, you know what? Okay, maybe I am kind of good at this.
Because it's amazing how your voice changes, how proud you are when you talk about Team G as well. It must be massive for you.
Yeah, because as I said, a lot of people are on GB Boxing in England, but only a few can say they've represented Team GB. Like when you see Team GB, it's a lot of people say they've been on Team GB, but you just have to do your own research because it all sounds the same. GB Boxing, Team GB. You know what I mean? But yeah, man. Like it's another level. Like yeah, that's the only time I thought, you know what? They can't take this away.
One elephant in the room though is the lack of a gold medal. I mean, you're someone who sets his standards so high, that's got to be waiting there for you, isn't it?
Yeah. It's always it doesn't matter what competition you go to. It could be the ABAs, the national ABAs. The goal is to be a winner, and that's the standard. Coming out with anything less than that, you don't really want to go on the podium. Like me and personally, I've won medals before, and I've had silver medals, and like, I didn't want to go on the podium. Like if you check the the pictures from the 2017 European Championships, and that's a major competition. I came second to the Olympic champion, but I knew I won the fight. And I was in the changing room and they're like, you got to go and collect your medal. That's the first time I had been to a medal ceremony. And I was like, I don't care for it. Do you know what I mean? Like that a gold medal is what it is. And if you look, I'm in my socks and some flip-flops and just the boxing kit that I just boxed in because I was just not prepared for it. I didn't want that. But it's just a part of the game. You get on with it. Again, at the European Games, same thing. I didn't want the medal. Like at every competition I've gone to, I've improved, and I've only ever lost to the person that went on to win the competition. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but in international boxing, the margins are very small. So you have to take. I've learned to take those little wins, even though they're losses. Yeah.
I was going to say you take me next question away. How tight are the margins between success and failure? Is not failure because you've got a bronze medal, but to you it's you know not getting the gold. But are they big margins? Is it little very, things
very,
in
very
fights?
Very tiny margins. That you have to remember where the it's not in your little town or. In England, no disrespect to anybody, this is the world we're talking, and there's many other factors that you have to put into context and consider when you go to these other countries and these tournaments that you have to factor in to these little percentages. So it's not just based on you and how you perform. You have to, as I said, factor in all the other people and situations.
So the fighters from around the world all have different styles compared to British fighters?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, the British style is very very basic. Like I say basic, no disrespect. It's just very upright and straight shots. But when you go to like places like Kazakhstan, those guys don't throw straight shots, not even their jabs. Their jabs are like that. They go around. It's like looping shots. Very bent arm shots. Cuba, they're very elusive, hands down, and they box like zombies. you know, and then you have the Americans with their Philly shuffle and all of that. So that's the difference between a guy that's had international GB boxing experience and a normal guy that's just gone and turned professional. Like it's night and day. I'm not saying that the guys that just turned professional are not good. I'm trying to say is the people that's been on the team and travelled and fought in different competition, it's a vast different experience. So when you come up against these world elite boxing guys as a pro, you are better equipped to handle them.
Kent's Sporting Dreams.
Talk about professional boxing as well. I'm sure you must get asked a lot, are you going to turn professional? Yeah. Have you had the chance to, etc., etc.? Where does that sit with you at the minute?
To be fair, I've been having opportunities to turn professional since I won my second novice title. So that's nothing new to me. Like, I could have turned professional ages ago. I met Richie Woodall way back before I was on Team GB. And Richie Woodall said to me, he's like, listen, I've done it all, guys. He goes, don't rush your pro career. Don't rush to become a pro. He said, get as much amateur experience as you can. He says, between 26 and 30, turn professional. He goes, you'll have a better career. And I didn't plan it, but it looks like it's happening that way for me. And look how many guys turn professional young and wash out by the time they're 30. Do you know what I mean? You don't hear about them. So it's very, very few that go on to be great. You have your Canelo and you have your Floyd Mayweathers, but there's very few.
So you talk about offers. Do you get them all the time still now that you're on Team GB? Or is it something that people realise that actually you're going to go to the Olympics and there's no point doing anything before that?
You'd be surprised. But they come, but you know what I mean, I got my business to handle. It ain't gonna happen, so they just need to relax for now and just go and save up their money. Save up their money and come back, because right now they can't afford me.
I was going to say, I'm a promoter, I'm going to get you in, I'm going to put a load of money in front of you. How much money would need to go in front of you now to not go try and go to the Olympics?
Listen, they can't afford me, that's all I'm saying. It's like, going to the Olympics, nobody can ever take that from me. I'm meddling at the Olympics, that's anybody can go pro. Anybody can be a pro boxer. How many boxers do you know that have gone to the Olympics? Do you actually know? Physically.
You're going to be the first.
There you go. I mean, so it's all good. Like, as I said, it's nothing, no disrespect to anybody, but it's nothing special about being a pro. So I can do that tomorrow. You can't just go to the Olympics tomorrow.
They talk about Olympic cycles, though. So once you get out of the Olympic cycle, is that the time when it will be then or never? If you don't do it then it won't ever happen?
Never say never. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. I'm just thinking about qualifying for the Olympics, winning my qualifiers, and that's it right now. After that, we can see what's happening, go to the Olympics, bring back a medal, and just see what happens there. You never know, I might even do another cycle and get two Olympic medals.
Inspirations in boxing. Where do you draw your inspiration from? You got idols, previous fighters that have been in the ring? Do you look at AJ? Is that someone you look at to, or how does it work for you?
My first experience of boxing was my granddad watching the Mike Tyson fight when he beat Evander Holyfield the ear off. And after that, that was like 95, I think. Like, I was only a kid. I can remember him walking to go and get a TV to watch it. But that was my first experience of boxing. And my second experience of boxing is what I'm telling you, what I just told you. 2009, when the girl I was going out with, her dad, kind of showed me a few bits. But before that, I had no inspiration to box. I used to play football, and that's what I wanted to do, is be a footballer. I played decent football, but it wasn't meant to be.
What position football, got to ask you?
I played all positions. I started off at right back. Imagine, I first started playing football in 2003. I played right back, right mid, I went to centre mid, and then I played striker. And I was good in all positions. Just so you know.
But why didn't you carry on then? Was it once you went in that ring and you had that experience that
Yeah, it's different. See, when you play football, it's a team sport. So you have to rely on other people to come and perform on the pitch. I find it difficult for me to get up and go out and give 150%, and then somebody's out here running around giving 60%. Made me wanted to beat them, like, badly. Like, don't waste my time. My time is valuable. So once I got into boxing and I found out, like, whatever you put into boxing, you can get out of boxing, because it's all on you. I was like, this is me. I'm great. This is me. This is what's gonna take me to where I want to be. So that's the story behind it.
It is a great thing though, isn't it? Because it's down to you now. You know that if you succeed, it's down to you, and if you don't make it, then also it's only you. You've only got yourself to blame's the wrong word, but you've only got yourself to blame.
Yeah, 100%. As I said, you get out what you put in. You might not get it when you expect it, but if you're consistent, you always get out what you put in.
We're weeks away from the qualifying, months potentially away from Tokyo. How exciting a time is it for you?
To be honest, I ain't really excited. I'm a very boring person like that. I think. I really get excited. Everybody else is excited because they never saw this coming or believed it coming. Like, I always knew. Well, I didn't. I take that back. I was always told I could do this, and then I started to believe. So I ain't gonna say I always knew this was coming, but this was somewhere created for me, because my coach told me, like, pretty much from day one, he goes, you can be a world champion. Do you know what I mean? So I always knew that I'd be great in some facet.
And how important is that belief, and maintaining that belief?
So you've got to believe it before you can achieve it. So you have to have a goal, and you have to not only have the goal, but you have to put steps in place to make sure you can achieve that goal. So, like, if one thing don't go right, you can say, okay, well, at least I can then do this and this to help me level up to reach to where I want to get to. But the main thing is just to have the goal and to work at it every day.
Shevin, it's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoyed looking back over your time. Thank you very much, fella. And we wish you well in the qualifying. Hopefully we'll see you in Tokyo 2020.
Go willing, man. Go willing.
Thanks to everyone who's listened to this episode of Kent's Sporting Dreams. Subscribe now on Audioboom and iTunes, and keep up to date with all the latest stories on our website, kentonline.co.uk.